Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze
of that day. And my oh my, Jimmy Buddha, Zimmy, my oh my, what a wonderful day. You know, I tell you, it's amazing. We are seeing, as they call it, carnage. Currency carnage. And surprise, surprise. Should we be surprised about the currency carnage? And the answer is no. Would this not be what we've talked about for years? The central bank Fed manipulation destroying the currency, which in turn really is destroying what? It's destroying your own wealth. That's the carnage that's happening. This is how they're trying to create their stupid inflation. Okay, you know, I don't remember ever reading that you have to have inflation. You know, that is regulated on your system. I mean, you know, if you're making a profit and you're making money, what does it matter? And the inflation, or as some call it, the hidden tax of inflation, is being manipulated through the currencies. And of course, you've seen with the Brexit, you've now seen the British pound drop almost 20 cents, which is, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it's huge. I mean, in the percentage terms, that is a gigantic move to the downside. Excuse me. Now, a lot of it was built in, you know, before we go there. But, you know, the destruction of currency is, you know, really a sad state of affairs, because this is the problem. When you don't have a backed currency, when you have a fiat currency, which has a greater chance to be manipulated, okay? So when we're seeing currency being manipulated, and this has been going on, you know, fiat currency has been floating for years. But the float, okay, now that you have a much more active Fed and a much more active central banking system, the carnage is much worse, because now you have somebody actually making a decision. You know, true markets work on the price discovery model. True markets float, or free float, they call it, okay? And true markets really have a buyer and a seller, and with no outside manipulation. And of course, now you have, you know, the manipulation of currency to try to increase GDP. Now, to me, I don't understand that whole part, to be honest. I mean, if I'm selling, you know, it sounds like, well, you're losing money on every sale, but make it up with volume so you can sell more. Okay, that's what manipulating currency sounds like to me. Now, I don't know. This is not my wheelhouse, but from an outsider's view, it certainly seems to me that that's pretty stupid. And that's the hard part when you have a currency backed by nothing, okay, that can be, again, easily manipulated by the people that run the currency, basically. And kid yourself not, the Fed does run the currencies. The central banks do run the currencies. So you see them continue to try to manipulate them in a way, you know, we call it financial engineering, okay? But, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense, and economists will tell you that it does, and I get, okay. I mean, I'm not going to – I couldn't win the argument straight up, because, you know, I don't have enough of the facts, but the logic behind it seems kind of stupid. That's just in my opinion. But, you know, so when we look at the Brexit deal now, okay, is this the sign? Are battle lines being drawn now? Okay. Are we? Is this, you know, one-off deal, or are there going to be others? Does this now become a major deal, you know, throughout the European Union? Is the European Union going to be done? You have to be concerned as an economy, okay, that you could see total destruction throughout, okay? And, you know, this is just a sign. You know, we've talked about revolution on the show before, and isn't this somewhat of a revolution? I mean, to me, it looks like the people are starting to revolt. And, you know, again, I'm not saying we're going to have a shooting war. We're not going to get the muskets out, you know, and have Paul Revere running around saying the British are coming. But this, to me, looks like almost some sort of revolt. And, of course, you know, the Iron Maiden, Angela Merkel, who totally was in control for many, many years, she seems to now have lost control of Germany. And, you know, if you look at it from that standpoint, I think you're finding out that this is the problem, okay? Because now the people, and, you know, remember, there's a lot more people. If people put themselves together and organized, then there's a lot more people that are on the other side, or middle class and lower, that could actually create some serious heartburn and if they stood up together. But unfortunately, many don't stand up together. But again, you got, you know, the Iron Maiden, as I call her, you know, who has obviously been one of the most powerful women in the world, now losing, I believe, a lot of her power. And that problem, you know, certainly goes much, much deeper than, you know, just the Brexit vote. I mean, you know, Brexit, the vote here is just one of many things. You know, I think one thing we all realize is that when there's a problem, we may know about the one that obviously we just voted on. Well, we didn't vote, but they voted on. But there's got to be more, okay? You know, countries just don't pull for one problem. And I think that tells a bigger story, that we have so many issues around the globe, so many problems around the globe, that we're going to be in pretty much of a disaster zone, because the disaster is, again, like everything else, it always comes back to money, okay? Now, whether you were in Greece and you were, you know, pissed off you weren't getting enough entitlements anymore, or whether you're in the United States right now and they're trying to take away your ability for capitalism, it always comes back down to the money, okay? So, you know, it's amazing how we can narrow everything back down to money. But it's a fact, okay? Because, you know, I guess they say, you know, money can't buy happiness, but it certainly makes misery a lot better. And, you know, you need money to exist. And so when people feel that the money is not good enough, they decide that maybe it's time to move on. And again, I believe there's going to be a much bigger fallout going forward than just what we've just seen today. So something to keep in mind, but also keep in mind our friends at Thinkorswim. You know, again, I tell you every day they've got swim lessons. You know, they're a great organization that is really trying to not only help you, but help you educate yourself to make sure that your trading becomes better. So they've got swim lessons, they've got the technical analysis stuff, and they're basically just around to help with a great user-friendly platform. And it is one of the platforms that I use, and I believe that, you know, it's great. So check out Thinkorswim. In the meantime, when you miss one of the shows, you know what to do, right? It's libertytalk.fm. Don't forget, libertytalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. Make sure you do that every day. In the meantime, I'm going to step out of here for a break. This is the Bubba Show, Top of Horse. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Top of Horse.
Welcome Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, extremely talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report. Jane King, you must be swamped with all the Brexit, exit, and all this stuff going on. What's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it was just a crazy day. And, you know, it's funny because, like, a lot of people weren't really watching it that much and weren't talking about it that much until, like, Wednesday. And then Thursday, there were more people talking about it and asking me what was going to happen. People were starting to get really interested. And I went to bed Thursday night, and I watched some of the polls, and I saw they were close. But some of the more recent results that had come in when I was watching were stay in. And I was like, well, this looks like it's going to be what the polls are indicating, that they're going to stay in and it's going to be closed. And then I woke up the next morning and just looked at my phone real quick to see the news and found out that the Brits did it. They voted to leave. And you never looked back. I mean, I had a ton of extra work, a ton of interest about it. Every market was moving based on that. I mean, agriculture and currencies and energy and stocks, of course, and bonds. And so very, very interesting day and one of the busiest days I've had in my career.
Well, and as predicted by Bubba here on the Bubba Show, the Brits were going to pull out. And it was, interesting. To me, Jane, this looks like, the start of a worldwide, type of a revolution. People are getting fed up with the same status quo. You have any thought to that?
Oh, no, I totally agree. And I think, what's happened, let's say, since the 70s, 80s, that, we put people in power that have come from a certain mold, Ivy League educated, probably built some wealth up in their life, very politically correct, the same kind of people, bureaucrats. A lot of the majority of people in the world are like, where has that gotten me? And, I love these commentators on TV who are like, well, don't they know that this is going to send the stock market reeling? And I'm like, most of these people haven't been able to invest in the stock market because you've taken all the opportunities away from them. They don't care. They want opportunity again, and they want a chance. And that was what was behind that British vote. I mean, you just don't, like, when you've got these nameless, faceless people in another country telling you how many bananas you can buy and things like that, I mean, that is just not conducive to a vibrant, growing society. And the Brits knew it. And, I will see how this goes. There's a lot of fear-mongering out there, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as people are fearing.
Well, again, I don't know that it's really bad as far as that is concerned. I mean, but the people are speaking. I mean, they're speaking here with Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. So now, of course, the new polls are out and Donald Trump is, trailing Hillary. But is he really? And of course, Donald Trump has trailed everybody every step of the way, yet he ends up winning. And of course, we continue to hear the battering of Hillary and her legal issues. But what's going to happen there? I mean, what do you think of Trump? What do you think of Hillary and her supposed illegal activities? I mean, I don't know. Why does she get away with everything?
I got to tell you, the Washington Post, for being such a legendary newspaper of journalism, they're just terrible lately. And some of the headlines that they have are so ridiculously anti-Trump that they're funny. I don't know how anybody can even take them seriously. They're the ones with ABC News that did the poll that showed her up by 12 points. As I understand it from experienced pollsters of both parties, that there were about 2 to 3 times more Democrats surveyed in that poll than Republicans. So, I just don't know how people can, with good conscience, do what they're doing. I mean, it's like they're using these newspapers and the media to push their own agendas. And it's a sad day. I mean, it is just so sad that we're seeing this in America, and I can't believe what I'm watching, and I just hope the public is smarter. The problem is that people are so busy out there. They're busy doing their job. They're busy with their kids. They're getting into school. They're trying to have fun, go to graduation parties and birthdays and whatever, that my fear is that they're not becoming really well informed. They're not reading enough different media to form their own opinion. My fear is that they're not going to watch the debate. They're not going to have time to watch the debate. They're going to look at the headlines the next day and not make their own conclusion. They're going to believe the media. And I'm really scared about that. I think people need to make their own decisions. If they do that, wonderful, but be informed and don't just repeat what you see in a headline in a newspaper.
And don't you think, now this is one of the things that, you know, kind of bothers me. You know, I saw the betting line, and of course the media brought up the betting line consistently, and that kind of misleads people to believe, oh, well, they're right, so I should be participating and buying into this market because they're going to stay, or I should be doing something because they're going to stay, when really, to me, that's like irresponsible reporting, because, you know, it's the same thing that happened in California at the last primary with Sanders and Clinton. They reported the morning of, you know, like it would be 2 o'clock in the morning California time that Hillary was going to be the nominee. So obviously Bernie got drilled in California. But I think that had partly to do with the media and them giving information that isn't necessarily true. But again, as you just said, you know, most of us live off, you look at your phone, you get the news. Okay, that's right. That's what's happening. And I go from there. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think you're right. I just can't believe how the media is behaving these days. I was just going to try to look up some Washington Post headlines that I get on my, I mean, I subscribe to them. But, you know, like here, this is just from Sunday. In a new poll, support for Donald Trump has plunged. I mean, but they don't mention that this was done, you know, with more Democrats. And I mean, I could go on and on. I mean, this is stuff is like, of course, my computer's not cooperating when I'm trying to do something. But every day there's something. I mean, there's something out there that's like, they critique his speeches and find out where he lied. They don't really do it with her as much. I mean, there's a little here and there, but it's not to the same extent. It's not like the blaring headline. And I mean, there's so much out there that's anti-Trump that, I mean, it's amazing. And if he ends up winning the election, I mean, it's going to be a revolution. It's going to be a revolution. And we'll just wait and see. We'll find out in a few months.
I think he's going to win. I mean, I think that he's going to defy all the odds. And I think he's done so far. And I do really believe that people are really tired of the old establishment. I think they're tired of getting hammered over every detail. And I think they're finally realizing that, you know, the establishment, the way it is not really, it doesn't really have their best interest at heart, even though they look you in the eye and tell you, yeah, we really have your best interest at heart. Do you have any thought to that?
Well, and I think even more so than that they're not really that smart. I mean, I don't think the establishment is as smart as they think they are and as much as everybody else has thought they are in the past. You know, there was kind of this sense that, oh, they went to Harvard. Well, they must be really smart. They must know what's best. So I'm going to vote for them. And I just think we've seen over and over again that has proven not to be the case. I mean, some people are, you know, maybe don't go to an Ivy League school, but they've got a lot of common sense and they're very smart and they've worked their way from nothing. And, you know, I think people are questioning some of these long-held beliefs we've had about education and where somebody comes from and whether they're, and whether these people, you know, have made these decisions for us for decades are purposely trying. I don't think they're purposely trying to hurt anybody. I think they're just looking out for themselves.
I agree.
And in the process, they've hurt all these people along the way.
I could not agree with you more. I mean, again, that's the problem with our system, in my views, is that, you know, there's been too much power given to too many of the government, and the government keeps growing, and unfortunately, nothing else is growing. And you're going to learn this, a lot of things you just said about common sense and in schools and where they come from. You're going to start to learn this because your kids are getting to that stage that, you know, they're not going to learn the real street lingo and the real stuff that you need to learn. You know, what you had to learn out on the farm in Indiana was you had to learn how to survive through good and bad and on your own. And unfortunately, we don't do that anymore. And I think that's a bigger problem overall. And that's, I think, what we're seeing, you know, with the overall government. I mean, they follow basically a playbook that is, first of all, broken. And second of all, nothing works out of a book because you have to be able to react off the top of your feet when things are happening. What do you think of that?
Well, yeah, and I, one thing I've told my kids over and over again is just because somebody says and does something doesn't mean it's smart. Because they will say, like, well, so-and-so this and so-and-so that, and I'm like, you will learn this through your whole life. People do dumb things every day, every hour, every second. You have to make your own choices based on what you know and your best judgment and think things through. And so, yeah, you know, and another thing, Todd, like if we still have time, is I think we might be the very, very early stages of seeing a collapse of the political parties in the United States. I just think that people are starting to wise up a little bit to how did we get here? I mean, you've got people who run these parties that are so much money involved,
and they say things.
They just basically lie. They lie to get elected.
We will leave that for next time. We got to cut out.
Next time.
That's okay. We're gonna bring this up next time. This is Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Get the download at libertytalk.fm. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Elsewise, well, you know, we talked a little bit about Brexit. We talked a little bit about currencies. We talked about all the crooks out there, and there's a lot of them. And everyone's got their hands in your pocket. But, you know, what are we looking at here now? You know, we have a market that continues. You know, when you look at it, I mean, where are we in the big scheme of the market? I mean, do you realize we're only 5-6% from the all-time highs? So with all the turbulence, with all the troubles, with everything that's going wrong, okay, where are we? We're still only 5-6% from the all-time high. Now, I know, in my opinion, that the big firms are again waiting for the Federal Reserve and the central banks to bail them out by printing more money, by devaluing the local currency once again. So doesn't it make you wonder that maybe the system as it is no longer a valid system? Does it make you wonder that maybe we need to be, you know, looking into something else now? I mean, and I'm not saying that it's gold. Again, I'm not one or the other. I'm just, you know, I look at it from a perspective of, you know, where can we all benefit? Again, I'm a big champion for the underdog because, you know, the extremely wealthy, they don't need my help except for maybe happiness, but they don't need my help for money. But I think that what you see is too many people are sitting back for too long of a period of time hoping that something good happens. Now, you know, if you look back in history at some of the famous market collapses, okay, and you can look at, you know, 2008. But let's go back to the internet bubble. What was the problem with the internet bubble? The problem was is that we were always figuring that somebody would step in, or there'd be a new company, or you know, and this time was going to be different. That companies didn't have to make money, so we kept buying, and every time we dipped, as well as just another chance to buy. But of course, that turned out to be false. And it turned out to be false in 87. And it's always false. And, you know, we're not fundamental traders. We are technical traders. And we will learn how to benefit from the markets on a technical basis because that's a much quicker, cleaner trade. The only fundamentals that we would use would be, you know, if you're building a long-term portfolio, you would want to buy you'd want to buy fundamentally strong stocks, but you would still look to buy them at technical levels. So now, you know, if you're actually sitting there banking on, you know, a central bank or the Fed to come in and save you again, think about the logic behind what you're doing. You're depending on somebody to make a decision to try to come out and defend you and defend your portfolio on something that they're going to do instead of the actual real live business of the company. Now, I would think, you know, we would all finally realize that that isn't the correct way to be, nor is it beneficial to you as an investor, because we know factually that markets go up, markets go down, right? I mean, that's a fact. We know that there's times of strife and there's times that we go very, very badly down, and we have these market corrections and collapses, and they clean out the weak. And that is one of the problems that I think we're seeing now is we have not allowed companies to fail. We have not allowed the weak to get out. All we've done is weaken the rest of our system trying to help the weak survive. Now, to me, again, I'm a big guy based on just logically, does it make sense? And does it make sense to anybody that we continue to try to keep the weak in business when they're weak? I mean, if they're weak now with full bore help from, you know, outside sources, what are they going to do when there is no more help? You know, what are we going to do when the markets, you know, change and the Fed or whatever's got no bullets left? You know, many companies survive a long period of time with outside help. I mean, you know, Elon Musk at Tesla. All right. Now, you know, they lose $5,000 a car. Now, for years, they had the benefit of tax credits from California. So that worked for them. But after the tax credits are gone, now they're starting to struggle a little bit. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not a great car. I love the car. But a lot of the solar companies, you know, they work on a lot of tax credits. But still, we're not getting real growth in those industries. We're not getting real action in those industries. So how do we expect them to succeed when exactly what I'm saying is happening and you're not getting, you know, true, a buyer comes in, you make a profit, you put the profit back in, you rebuild, and you make more of a profit. We're not getting that right now. What we're getting right now is, okay, we're going to subsidize this through, you know, through tax credits. We're going to subsidize this through rate cuts. So now you've got all the big firms sitting back waiting once again for a handout or a bailout from the Federal Reserve. And, you know, what is the Fed going to do here? I mean, are they going to really create more dollars? And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I mean, again, I firmly believe that there's going to be a quantitative easing four, because I believe that they're gutless and they don't have any idea of how to move out of here. But we can't, as a society and as a country, we cannot continue to wait for what the Federal Reserve is going to do or for what type of tax rates are going to go. We need to have real growth in this economy. And real growth means really getting real jobs. Real growth means moving on forward. Real growth means, you know what, if you're not strong enough to survive, then you're probably going out of business, which is fine. You know, everybody thinks failure is such a bad thing. Failure isn't a bad thing. The bad thing is when you're not allowed to fail and you cost everybody else around you more to keep you in business. Now, that certainly is not logical. Okay. Again, anybody one time, you know, you're close, You know, because you may have all at one time or another been in a position where you were close to failing and you got some sort of a help and you made it. But you cannot, you know, continue to give second, third, and fourth, and fifth chances, because what you see is it ruins the system. Okay? I mean, forget about business for a minute. Let's look back at sports. Okay? You know, if you're a really great athlete, you get more than one chance. If you're average, you get one chance. Now, is that where is the fair and equitable ending there? Well, there isn't. You know, I remember, I go back to, I don't know, I think it was 1980, maybe, Steve Howe. You know, I mean, he was busted four or five times for cocaine, but every team kept giving him a chance because he was so good. You can't keep trying to bail out a system. The system is designed to clean itself out. And when we finally realize that, when we finally let the chips fall where they may, we will finally see how strong or how weak we really are. Now, we are obviously a big economy, but at the end of it, we still have to have the opportunity to let the strong survive and swallow up the weak, because that's the true capitalistic way, and that is the way that the United States of America was built, was on pure capitalism. Okay? And, you know, obviously there's been some socialism stuff coming in. I mean, even long before now, I mean, you know, there are things that are done. But overall, the reason that you can do those things is that if you have a strong business model, then the strong don't have a problem helping some of the weak. But when you create a lot more weak, then all of a sudden there's a problem. And there comes the revolt. And that's, you know, my concern is a revolt is near, because, again, I think you're starting to see the signs of those things just by, again, the Brexit vote. You're seeing it by the Trump and the Sanders move and many other things that are showing up, not to mention the strength of some of the terrorist organization, because, again, you know, Hitler survived because the economy, it was weak. People were poor. They were hungry. And when you're poor and you're hungry, you'll do just about anything. And that is what the environment that we're creating now, because we're certainly creating a lot more poor people than rich people. And if you continue to create poor people, you continue to create the probability that something's going to go wrong and that there's going to be another debacle, whether it be socially or financially or whatever. But again, a economy that is run to destruct the average guy is not an economy that is going to have a long legs and be able to survive over time, because the people will rise up and revolt. And that is one of the problems that we should be concerned about. And again, it doesn't have to be a fighting revolt, but they will rise up. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. You know, when you miss a show, all you need to do is go to libertytalk.fm. You can download it every single day. And, of course, I encourage you to do so. Be with the hundreds of thousands of people that do it now. You can also get the Sporting Edge there. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out for a break. I'll be right back after break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba.
10 miles from town. I was proud.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years, finally figured it out. And, you know, I do, I think I mentioned the other day, but I do now a 30-minute TV show every week, Bubba's Bottom Line, Real Markets for Real People. And we had the premiere episode go out, and, of course, you can request it if you'd like to see it. But, you know, I talk, you know, from politics to business to charting to the whole thing, kind of like what we do here, but, you know, a little bit more in depth. And, you know, one of the things I talked about in the last episode was, you know, what happened in Greece, what's happening in Venezuela, and that it certainly could happen here. And somebody wrote me back and said, no way, it can't happen here. And to me, you see, that's just the reason that it can happen here. When we continue to say that we can't be Venezuela, well, why can't we be? Yes, we are the biggest economy, but could the world not go into a worldwide depression? Could there not be a major meltdown? Could there not be rioting here because of it? You think that we are immune? You know, remember one thing, okay? When the money's gone, okay, there is nobody safe, okay? So, you know, how much longer can you continue to create money, okay? Now, again, I don't know the answer to how long, but I do know that as a fact that eventually it has to end. Eventually you have to run out. If you're not producing more, you're going to run out. So, you know, to think that what happened in Greece, what happened in Venezuela, what happened in a lot of smaller countries and smaller economies couldn't happen here. If you continue to build a country of entitled, if you continue to have pension funds that are paying out $4 for every dollar they take in, eventually the money has to run out. So if you don't think that that's a possibility, you're nuts. Okay. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not going to say it's going to happen in my lifetime. But as we've seen over years and years and years, the shift of power always happens. Okay. Now, you know, we have been pretty much in control for 250 years. Okay. But after that, what happens if you do run out? Okay, you know, there's always been talk about, you know, the America not being the world currency. Now, I say bunko, we're going to be the world currency. But if things continue to get destructed, there's always that possibility they could. Now, again, that's not in my lifetime, but that is a possibility. Then I talked about free markets, okay? And I said, you have to go back before Greenspan to see where free markets were. And of course, somebody said, well, wait a second, we haven't had free markets since 1930. I said, well, I understand what you're talking about, free markets, but I'm talking about an actual tradable market that is not being manipulated by somebody else. And I'm talking about real price discovery and real trading. Okay. And of course, we have not had real price discovery for, you know, at least 10 years. Okay. And, you know, since the Greenspan era. Greenspan was the bubble builder, and he passed that skill on to Bernanke, who now passed that skill on to Yellen. Our Fed has become a bubble builder, not a problem solver. So the free markets that I talk about are free trade, are the ability to let countries, companies fail. But of course, we don't want anybody to fail. Because again, what does that do? It hurts the banks. Okay. Now, where did the banks become the end all be all? That, I guess that's my problem here, is why is a bank too big to fail? Okay. Why is a bank, you know, they loan, you know, the big banks, they loan billions and billions of dollars to third world nations, collecting their interest and obviously hoping that the third world nation never pays the money back. But they just want them to stay basically what we call in business. But you think that there's not going to be a problem with that. Okay. Well, you know, these meltdowns do happen. Okay. But the problem we have here is that, unfortunately, the banks became above everybody else. So when they get in trouble, we, the American people, get to bail them out. Now, I don't know about you, but I am sick of bailing them out. Why is a bank too big to fail, but Bubba Trading isn't too big to fail? Okay. You know, where is it that it makes it? You know, all they're doing, you know, the big banks, all they are is a messenger for the Federal Reserve, because what happens is the Fed's got to print money to keep these banks solvent. So really all they are is a facilitator. Okay. And I don't understand why we have to have an economy like that, why we can't let an economy go where it's going to go. And that goes back to the free market system. Okay. You know, again, one of the things we can tell for sure is the way volatility has dropped over the years. Even in tough markets, we've seen a drop in volatility because the markets are more fixed in a way that we know that the Fed is behind it, the Fed is going to back it. So if that's the case, then you can be a little bit more aggressive. Now, at some point, you know, the Fed will pull away, and of course, the markets will do their thing, and they'll collapse. So what you have to look at here is, you know, the overall big picture is a little bit ugly. And the overall picture of actual free market price discovery, you know, get what it's worth, has disappeared. And it will continue to do so, and it will continue to leave building more of a socialist environment, building more of a government, in a bigger government, okay? And remember, I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help. Uh-huh. Okay, so if you think that everything is great and it's the status quo, you better think again, because what you're creating is you're allowing them to lull you into sleep, thinking that they're doing something that's good for you. And we all know that whatever they do is never good for us. Remember, the Federal Reserve is a private organization, a private corporation, okay, that does what's good for them. They're not doing what's good for you. So although they might come out of the closet saying, hey, this is good for you, it ain't. Just think back at all the times that either the government or the Federal Reserve said they were doing something good for you. I want you to go back and look at the result and ask yourself, was it really good for you? Was the debt ceiling really good for us? Why can't the federal government, not the Federal Reserve, but why can't the federal government live under a budget? You know, we talked about this last week a little bit. You know, when I can't live like they do, I just can't keep spending, okay, and making new money. Why doesn't the government have to live under a budget? Okay, why doesn't everybody have to live under what you have? So if you're not producing more capital, how can you spend it? Again, the whole day today, it's been on the logic basis. I mean, if you're not surviving, if you're not making enough to pay your employees, how can you keep hiring more employees? How can you keep buying more things? Again, how can you pay $4 out to a pension for every dollar you take in? Don't you see the problems in all these things? Don't you see where we're going from here if this continues? I mean, how long can it continue? You know, money is not an endless supply. I mean, I guess it's the value of the supply. You can continue to take it down. You make it from a dollar to 50 cents. I mean, you know, according to some experts, they've already destroyed the dollar, like, I don't know, 87 or 97%. Again, I don't know how that's quantifiable, but I think that there's a lot more going on here, and I think that that's where a lot of the issues and the problems come in. And to me, it sucks. And to me, I want it better. And to me, I really appreciate you being here today, because it's always great to have you guys here on The Bubba Show, and it's always great when you go down to libertytalk.fm and you download the show, because when you miss one, you know, you don't want to miss me. When you miss a show, libertytalk.fm will get you all the podcasts of The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. I appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.